All right, everyone, good morning. It is November 9th, year of our Lord 2023. This is Ain't That Some Shit, episode 30. 30, 30, dirty, 30. Yo, oh my gosh, I am sorry. I missed the GOP debates last night. I got a recap this morning. It is 6 a.m. And I was just like, oh damn, I didn't stay up to watch it. Whatever. And my God, I ate my words. I was off of the Vivek Ramaswamy vote, the boat, right? He pulled me back in. He said everything that I wanted a candidate to say. He wasn't pulling any punches. He was going in for the knockout. He was stepping, he was dancing, he was parrying. Oh my God. Amazing. You have to check out the clips if you haven't already. He called out the NBC panel. So the debate was hosted on NBC. It was Nikki Haley, Ron DeSantis, Vivek Ramaswamy on the debate. And every time that the question was posed to him, he would jab back at him. He was pointing fingers at them. He's like, let's talk about why the heck is this debate even being hosted on NBC by you three fucking goons? Let me let you know who was the panel asking the questions before I get to it. I am so excited. Again, this is Ain't That Some Shit. And oh my goodness, we needed something like this. We needed like an uplifting, fucking amazing story. All right, so the debate aired from Miami, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Sorry, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Excuse me, moderated by NBC Nightly News's Lester Holt and the Kristen Welker from Meet the Press. And they were joined by Hugh Hewitt of the Hugh Hewitt Show, whatever. Lester Holt was the one. This man. I'm not even gonna taint anything. You know what? You can look into him, whatever. But Vivek pointed at him directly. And he's like, let's discuss how you pushed the whole Trump-Russia collusion fake ass story for years, knowing that it was pushed upon you by Hillary, by the DNC, the Democratic National Campaign Committee, and that, your media organization were telling you to push it without it being checked for credibility. And when it came out that she fucking paid for that story, she paid for the whole Steele dossier, and then the Durham report comes out, and it's like, nah, there was no fucking collusion. Trump didn't do shit. He told Lester, all right, now answer for it. He spun the fucking question on them, on the panel. Now, of course, they didn't answer. They're like, Mr. Ramaswamy, you've run out of your time, whatever. And knocked it back. And then he came back with another fucking hit. In the last debate, Nikki Haley was angry or whatever. She made a point that Vivek Ramaswamy uses TikTok. TikTok, as we know, is a CCP, the Chinese Communist Party. It's a CCP company. It's a program that TikTok in China is moderated heavily. Children are not allowed to just use it for frivolous bullshit, whereas here, you can find anything you want on TikTok, and it's usually not good. It's usually crap. It's propagating all of this Gen Z bullshit. We're all on a spectrum. If you want to be a dog because you feel like a dog, then your pronouns can be woof woof, right? Okay. In the last debate, Nikki Haley was like, well, how do you want to get rid of China and all that stuff when you use TikTok? Because it's the platform du jour. It is the social media of the day. Du jour is French for of the day, right? And in this debate, Vivek was like, I didn't have time in the last debate to counteract this. Nikki Haley has the nerve to point at me and say, how dare you use TikTok to promote your campaign when her own daughter uses TikTok and not for anything educational. Fucking pointing fingers, taking names, throwing punches. I have been waiting to see this. Like, I didn't appreciate during the first debate when he was like, I'm the only one here not funded by outside money. Although it's true, although he is not bought, he is a self-made millionaire. I wanted to see more of that talk of accountability. I wanted to see more of him putting the media in their place. And this is what's happened. This, in my opinion, this is the only way that we are going to go back to Walter Cronkite eras, right? When the news was frankly the news, when there wasn't this editorialism, when there wasn't this sheer opinion, when people were presented facts without omitting necessary information. I don't know if you notice, but I notice it whenever there's a shooter or whatever, they can't wait to say it's a white guy. They can't. If it's a minority, they don't talk about it. Over the weekend in Chicago, hundreds of people die in a month. Sorry. Over in Chicago, within a month, on the weekends, people die. And the numbers average to about 100. Either there's shootings, there's robberies. This is an atrocity. These are minorities killing minorities usually, and it is disgusting. But people aren't talking about it. No, they'd rather just talk about, the white shooter or the old white guy that shot through the door and killed a poor minority kid because he thought that his home was being broken into. I'm not excusing that old man. I'm just saying that that story should not get more publicity than what's going on in the cities. And the trans shooter from Tennessee, I'm sorry, I'm jumping all over the place. I had a Celsius, I wish they would sponsor me, Celsius energy drink, whatever, wonderful stuff. Only 200 milligrams of caffeine, would you believe it? Anyways, the Tennessee shooter, the trans kid, Aubrey, whatever the fuck, right? Who targeted Christian schools, went to a school that they formerly went to, they were a student there before, and shot children, innocent children. They didn't want to release that piece of shit's manifesto. They didn't want to say that they were trans. They are. They were. Whatever. They're dead. Good for them. And they recently released statements that that person made before carrying out those heinous acts, that they were upset of the children's white privilege and they couldn't wait to kill some crackers. That fucking scum of the earth was white as well, whiter than me. All right? That fucking All right, let's let it go. That is what should be made known. People can have hateful intentions regardless of what color, whatever they are, and they will act on it regardless of what sexual orientation they are, regardless of what fucking costume they put on for their own pleasure, right? I'm talking about trans and furries and whatever the fuck. They are people. People are people. People have a spectrum, let's use that word, spectrum of emotions. And if their rational thinking, if their logical brain, if their fucking frontal cortex doesn't ignite and tell them, nah, maybe you shouldn't act upon this emotion, they do it. Plain and simple. I'm sure I'm not the only one. I'm sure everyone listening has had a feeling of rage, right? You get really, really mad. You want to hit something. You want to break something. You might be mad at someone or mad at a situation, but you don't. You don't. You're like, I need to calm down. I need to take a minute. All right. There are people who don't take a minute. There are people who think that they can act without ramification. And the more that we protect certain groups, like trans people, and be like, oh, well, they were bullied and life is hard and whatever. It makes sense that they did this. No, you never excuse murder. You never excuse violence. And you should not excuse the media for withholding information about these people because other people need to learn. Other people need to see that no one is above the law. No one can take another life. No one can create lies about someone to tank their career, to tank their reputation, to tank their livelihood. That is not okay. So I give props to Vivek. I am eating my words because I wasn't so sure about him. I saw that he had flip-flopped a lot, and I'm not saying I'm 100% on board. I'm so-so between him and DeSantis because I like what DeSantis was doing in Florida. I like that DeSantis has a military background. People in the military, and okay, sorry, off tangent. I don't know if you guys watch Jubilee. It's a channel on YouTube where they hold these social experiments, right? They get a group of people and they ask them to rate each other by attractiveness or rate each other by intelligence and rate yourself among the group, whatever. So in one of these rating experiments, they had five individuals, young adults within their 30s, right? And one of them was Marines, I think it was like a CBRN guy, CBRN Marine. Sorry, I'm looking this up to make sure. Corpse CBRN Specialist. Okay, so let me look up the meaning so I don't fuck this up. It stands for Nuclear, Biological, Chemical, and Radiological Defense. Okay, these are smart fucking people. And he didn't go into depth about it. He was very humble compared to the other fuckers on that video. And there was a chick with a PhD. There was a software engineer, also a woman, an Asian guy who graduated from Harvard, African-American chick. I don't remember what she did. Forgive me. And then the military guy. Okay, so 4 out of 5 ranked the military guy last in intelligence. And all of them took an IQ test. Yes, I understand IQ tests are not definitive, but what do IQ tests measure? They measure your problem-solving ability. They measure your logic and your reasoning. You know who ranked the worst? You know who had the worst IQ? The chick with the doctorate who was working on the development of the COVID-19 vaccine. She was so arrogant. Her IQ was like 113, whereas the military guy, Marine guy, the CBRN guy, okay, so it's C, B as in boy, R, N as in Nancy, in case you want to look that up. He got a 133. Yeah. Because in the military, you are pressed for time to solve problems. You don't just get to push your work off to the next day. If there's something pending, it's something pressing, you are forced to react, to think in a high pressure environment. That requires a high IQ. You cannot just fucking stall and fucking break down and need to, you know, go into your safe space or whatever the fuck. No. You need to do something. You are accountable for lives. And you can't have a dumb person doing that. I know many people who got their PhD who fucking can't change a tire, even though all the tools are in front of you. You just fucking connect the tire iron and twist around and boop, the thing's loose. Here's my point. We need to put value back into those things, into facts, into reasoning, into logic, into holding people accountable, and not lifting up bullshit. I am tired of seeing people who run around with a superhero cape, but instead of a big S, it's a big V for victim. Like, oh my goodness, I am so much better than you because I've suffered so much. Oh, suck my dick. Everyone suffers. Life is suffering. Life is pain. But it's also beautiful. It's beautiful. I read a story of a man who painted a painting. Even though his hands were all gnarled up, the joints were ridden with rheumatoid arthritis, the painting was painstakingly beautiful of his dead wife. And he painted it with the last two fingers that had any articulation. And he produced something through that suffering. And it is a piece of art. It truly is. Not this modern art bullshit where you fucking menstruate on a canvas like, my pain in art. Suck my dick. The majority of women menstruate unless they have some abnormality. It's you're not special. what you do with your suffering is what makes you special. It is. Whatever you overcome and how you come out on the other end is what separates you from all the others. So I am so glad that Vivek Ramaswamy took those hits. I need to watch more of the debate for my own, because, you know, I'm sure there's more going on. I will look into how the polls responded, how people are doing in response to this. Apparently Nikki didn't do that great. Sorry to hear it. Ron DeSantis was pretty good, but Vivek, I'm glad he said what he said. He might not win. He might not. This is, in all honesty, he might not. But it had to be said. There had to be someone as brazen as Trump, but more articulate. I'll admit that Trump speaks at the level of a fourth grader sometimes, and it appeals to the common man. Completely understand. Vivek brings the facts, and he puts them in a way that it's really hard to refute if you are only used to having an emotional appeal. I saw him on a Don Lemon show, my goodness, and Don Lemon was like, you can't tell me what it's like to be a black man, and that wasn't what Vivek was talking about at all, but that is a way to steer the conversation differently, is that appeal to emotion, that appeal to, well, this is just a subjective matter and you don't have the wherewithal to weigh in on it. We're all people. If you are an American citizen, we are all Americans. We all want the same things at the end of the day, our family to be safe. We want to have the opportunities provided to us and our descendants. We want to be able to go out about our day without worrying that we're going to be shot in the back of the head, right? So we want law enforcement to be as it should. We want the laws to be fair to those who have committed crimes and those who are innocent. We want these things. We want the core values of this country to be upheld for everyone involved, everyone paying taxes, everyone contributing to the success of this nation, right? Right. Another thing that Vivek brought up, the what is it called? RNC chairman or whatever, RNC chair, whatever the fuck their name is, Ronna McDaniel. So, she came into power in 2017. Republicans have not won a single thing since. And Vivek told her, well, he was speaking out and he's like, I hold you accountable. There's a cancer, he says. There's a cancer in the Republican Party, and it stems from you, because we haven't won a single damn thing since you took office. And I would like you to come here and resign. He said that, yeah, to resign in front of everyone. I'm glad to give you my time, meaning that his time to debate his points, he would gladly relinquish to her so that she's able to give her resignation speech. Amazing. Amazing. That is crazy to say. No one has ever said that. However, they all believed it. They all were on board with it. It's just they're not going to say it openly. That's like a behind the door kind of thing. And I'll be honest, I find that really scummy and cowardly and underhanded. You have an issue with me, tell me to my fucking face, all right? Don't say it behind closed doors. Don't say it in whispers. Have some fucking integrity, all right? And say your words straight up, directly. I can handle it. And so can everyone else. But no, everyone kowtows to the leaders of these parties and doesn't want to say anything to upset them. You don't know how many Democrats in office have issue with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, but they're not going to say, because those are the highest people on the totem pole. It's sick. It's disgusting. Oh, here's an example of how that messes up things. All right? There's an argument, oh, well, they're just being polite. There is a point where politeness goes too far and becomes the detriment of a well-functioning system. In Korea, okay, pilots in Korea are seen as the elitist. They are the highest level, and everyone under them, the cabin crew and all that, they cannot disagree with them. They cannot have a dispute. You have to talk to them with a different structure of speaking because of how higher up than you they are. There were multiple accidents. There were mechanical failures that didn't get brought up. There were issues that the pilot didn't want to hear because he's so much higher. And because of the whole communication barrier, it's like, I'm not going to listen to you, go away, you know, you're none of my concern kind of thing. They had to change their way of talking because of that barrier. You cannot create such a division between one level and another, where if the lower level sees something that you are blind to, that you completely ignore them. Hold on. All right, sorry in advance if there's any background noise. I have a 14-month-old and, you know, making babies. Anyways, where was I? Right, so hierarchical or levels of hierarchy don't work when you want something to function like a well-oiled machine. The hierarchical speech that is dependent upon a hierarchy. When you censor people from talking about the higher-ups when there is a clear issue, just allows the issue to fester and grow like a cancer. So I'm completely on board with the level of disrespect. Just watch. All the articles are going to come out about how he disrespected the RNC chair and that, you know, he should be removed or whatever for how... Listen, this RNC chair openly... Not directly. Let me draw that back. There was a candidate, Larry Elder, African-American man, eloquent, highly educated, amazing points. He got the necessary signatures, because you need necessary signatures and donations to be in the debate. He wasn't allowed to. And he took issue with the RNC chair who snubbed him. She didn't respond or anything to him. Like, he... It's ridiculous. If you want, check out Larry Elder's appearance on the Breakfast Club, Charlemagne the Gods podcast. It's worth the watch. Larry Elder brings up points that... I can't even put as well as he does, but he brings up what's wrong with the black community and how the government has fostered these issues. The issues of no fathers in the household, women having multiple kids out of wedlock and the government paying for that and all that stuff, young men seeking that male role model in the streets and then they kill each other and then the media doesn't broadcast it because, you know, it's not as big of an issue that they want to put forward, like cops killing minorities. Sure. There's more. There's more. I highly suggest you look into him. But he was denied the ability to debate. He was denied the ability to be a candidate for this coming election, despite getting everything he needed. He even flew to Wisconsin for that first debate and showed up and he's like, I'm here. I did everything you need to, and they're like, sorry, we can't let you in. We can't let you on the stage because Ronna McDaniel said so. That's an atrocity. Denying him the right to speak because he would have wiped the floor. Him and Vivek have very similar talking points. However, if you want to play the color game, he's a black man, whatever, maybe... He would have brought more African-Americans to the Republican Party, away from the Democratic Party that keeps pushing these incentives that just foster more of this bullshit that they go through and Latino Americans go through. And anyone who's told that you're not at the same level of a white person, so we're going to give you all these incentives on the back of the taxpayer. I am looking forward to this change. I'm looking forward to whatever may come from Vivek's outbursts. Necessary outbursts. Clear, thoughtful outbursts. And I know outburst is a terrible word, but he did. Well, no, okay, so he was provided his time, but he raised his voice, he pointed fingers, he called out Lester Holt and NBC and, excuse me, Ronna McDaniel. None of them are going to answer for it, that I know. But the people got to see it. The people got a chance to see what... The people got a chance to see that there is someone who is trying to climb to the top who sees what we all see. We all see the manipulation. We all see the issues that exist in our community that those in the ivory tower just want to ignore. We all cry that there's high inflation and you know, the whole Biden economics is not doing it. It's not. It's not. They want to claim that more jobs are coming out. Okay. Who do you know who's gotten a new job recently? And that pay is actually benefiting them. I'm curious. I really am. Because all I'm hearing from people that I know is that they are short-staffed. They need more help. Not enough people are coming to work. And when they ask for more help from their employers, and their employers, you know, stem from larger companies, they're like, we can't do it. We're trying. I'm not saying, you know, a lot of people are getting fired. I'm saying that the jobs are there, but people are not being pushed to work. A lot of people are still doing work from home. I don't know if they're waiting for the next wave of COVID. I've been hearing whispers like COVID's back and all that. Yes, I know. It's the cold season. Winter is coming. Winter is damn near here. It's walking up your driveway. Okay? With that, people's immune systems are going to be hampered. The cold does that. The body has to work extra hard to keep things functioning when we are in a colder environment. It's just how it is. And when your body is working hard, its defenses are depleted, especially if you're unhealthy. I know I'm going to bring the medical section into this. That's why I push people to go outside, get some exercise, eat better, don't eat just processed shit all the time, even though it tastes good. Listen, I hear you. I love McDonald's fries. Hey, McDonald's, if you want to sponsor me, I won't talk shit about you too much. But I do. I know it's terrible for me. It, you know, has that addiction trigger. It's nice, it's salty and everything, and they put sugar in their fries. It is probably the worst thing to consume. Because it's processed in that way that you keep craving it, even though it doesn't, it's not nutritionally dense. You feel hungry immediately after. It's just that quick fix. Everyone is addicted to something processed, really. Because what alternatives do they have? Who is really pushing that whole fresh food initiative? Who's really pushing that we get out there and get more exercise in the day? Who's really pushing for more outdoor programs for kids and all that? I mean, they cut music, they cut the arts, they cut recreational stuff in schools that desperately need it. Schools with the lowest funding have the fattest fucking kids. I can't stand it when I see an obese 8-year-old. You're 8. You should be running around. You should be having expendable energy coming out of your fucking ears. But no, you're on the couch, you're on your phone, you're on TikTok, and These are issues that are not being addressed. Why? Because it creates this captive audience. If you're out in the world, you're engaging with people, you're going to see that this whole divide in our country is not that bad. It's not as bad as they make it out to be. If you're interacting with other people, you're on sports teams, you're making friends. The concept of making friends is so foreign to Gen Z. They make friends online and they get this parasocial connection and they feel like it's so fucking real. And then, you know, that person lies to them about who they really are. You know, they think they're talking to an amazing girl, turns out to be a 40-year-old guy. And then they lose trust in everyone. That wouldn't happen if you actually met people in real life. That wouldn't happen if you built your social skills and got out. It's scary. I know. You can't hide behind an avatar. You can't hide behind whatever cartoon picture you make of yourself and you know, make your persona or your fursona if you're a furry. No, you actually need to try to put the best of yourself out there. And if people don't respond to it, you change, you improve, you hit the gym, you read some books. These are skills that are being lost everywhere. That's why when we see someone who can actually pull people in real life, people into a room and talk to them, we, the collective, are afraid of that person because you're like, how do they have that power to sway the masses? It's a skill. It's a learned skill. As I said in one of my previous episodes, be resourceful. And that doesn't just mean like, you know, build stuff out of metal and make tree houses and shit. But communication is a skill. To be able to articulate your thoughts effectively so that you know you are being understood in the manner in which you want to be understood. That is a skill. And it's a lot easier to write out a paragraph where you can edit and you can change things up than it is to speak to a person and have no second take. There is no editing. You say what you said, and then they take it, they internalize it, they break it down and understand, and then they relay something back to you, and you don't know what to expect. And your reaction time has to be pretty quick or else they look at you like you're retarded. So it's a skill, just like I said about the IQ, about the Marine guy. You are in a tight window of time in which you need to respond. That shows intelligence. So, take away from this episode, all right? Go talk to someone. Go talk to someone that you haven't spoken to, a stranger that you've noticed a few times. Say hello, ask how their day's going. Notice something about their outfit, compliment them, right? Start a decent conversation and see where it leads. They might think you're a weirdo, or they might be like, man, someone actually spoke to me today. That was nice. Reach out to another person. Humans are social creatures, not parasocial, not social media social, social social. We thrive in communities. We thrive with other people. COVID has robbed that from us, but so has the media, so has the government, so has this indoctrinated alienation of other people where we start believing that all our neighbors are out to get us and we should just bunker down with our own people. No. No, that's how civilizations die. That's how, you know, civil wars get created. That's how people just fucking off themselves and their whole family. They get so isolated and alone and depressed, and it's not true. These are just lies that you create in your own mind because you don't know what to think. All right, another example. If you have a friend that you usually get along with, right? And then you spend some distance apart. You start thinking that they don't like you anymore, right? Your mind creates this kind of thing. And it's all a lie. It is. It's not like they stopped liking you. It's not like they stopped wanting to hang out with you. It's just that with distance, that connection becomes weaker and weaker. And, you know, that phrase, don't be a stranger, you become strangers. Stop it. Really. Go make time to meet with people in person. And you'll be all the better for it. I'm sure of it. Anyways, that's all I got. This was Ain't That Some Shit with Emma. I'm wishing you all the best in this November month. And, I'll see you around. Over and out.
Hey everyone, I'm Garrett from Comics Podcast. Be sure to check out our stop motion animation on our YouTube channel, DJ Hatter Comics and Movies, where the stories are inspired by comic book characters such as Batman, Spider-Man, Star Wars characters, and more. Be sure to like the channel and subscribe. Also, make sure to hit the notification bell to keep up with the newest episodes. See you there.